You ever watch shows about food? You know what I'm talking about? There's Cake Wars and Cupcake Wars. You know what I'm talking about? Restaurant Impossible, things like that. I don't mind man versus food. You ever seen that? I just don't know how someone can eat 8,000 calories at one setting and not get sick. You see that? It's like a quadruple cheeseburger with onions and all that stuff on it. You ever seen man versus food? Now help me out. Is it Anthony Bourdain? Is that his name? He recently died. He sort of has tasted a lot of foods around the world. Sometimes it makes my stomach turn watching what he eats. Intestines and lizards and various insects. I don't really care much for the show. But there is one show that I really like to watch about food. I'm sure you've seen it before. It's what? Diners, Drive-Thrus, and Dives. Now, Guy Fieri, he does 3 shows in a half-hour setting, and he usually goes to this restaurant that has amazing food. The cook or chef tells you, and they show you how to prepare 2 meals. And they talk to customers. And by the way, never watch that show while you're hungry. You know what I mean? Because you go into the kitchen and think you can make something like it, and you usually end up just having Kraft macaroni and cheese. You know what I'm saying? But don't watch that show while you're hungry. Now, for me, there's a place in Lansing, Michigan, where my youngest daughter is now at, called Meats, and it was featured. We wanted to go there, but the line's too long, but we'll get there sooner or later. But to me, when I watch them prepare a meal, I think to myself, is this something I like or dislike? But I know right off the bat, it's a food that I dislike if they start by putting a quart of chopped onions in it. Then I know for sure, no thank you. Or even a couple cups of sliced onions and diced onions. No thank you, that dish is off the market for me. Are you like that? You ever watch that and said, yeah, I think I'd really like that or not like it? For me, it's onions that do that. You see, I just don't like onions, but we all here have foods that we acquired a taste for or not a taste for. Let's go through a list of foods that people love or despise. They have acquired a taste for or not a taste for. Ready for this? The first one is what? You ever have those? I see some people shaking their head. Someone's smiling. Yeah, that's acquired taste. Or what? Coffee. I don't drink coffee. I don't like coffee. Matter of fact, I get a little mint with a coffee flavor in it. Once in a while, my lovely wife, she buys this iced coffee, mocha stuff, right? Says, have a sip. Ugh. Ugh. What else? Certain cheeses. I like Swiss. My wife doesn't. She likes Gouda. I don't care for it. But cheeses are, that's acquired taste, you like it or not. What else? Sushi. Ugh. I see some people shaking their head. Don't buy it at the gas station, okay? Okay? Not good, all right? What else? Anchovies. You know what anchovies are? Fish, yeah. Okay, like it or not? Certain alcoholic beverages for those old enough, right? Some you like and some you don't like. You know what I'm talking about. Let's move on, okay? And certain types of vegetables, asparagus and Brussels sprouts, you either what? You either like it or you don't like it. It's an acquired taste. Things are acquired taste. You see, I think the rest of our life, there's things that we acquire that we love or we don't like it. But what do I mean by that? Truth can be acquired. We can have a bitter taste for it. What do I mean by that? Well, doctor's offices. Truth is, sometimes we don't like going there. Even though the doctor might speak the truth for us, does your blood pressure go up? Do you get scared when you go there? You don't like it? What else? Performance. We sometimes don't like evaluation. Some people love competition. Other people don't. They don't like being on the center stage. You either like it or you don't. What else? Honesty in relationships. That can be difficult. It can be difficult being in an honest relationship. Someone tells you what they really think or afraid of what they might think. It's needed. There's no doubt. We acquire taste for it or we don't. Or what else? How are you doing? You ever have that happen? Somebody walks by, says, how are you doing? They just keep on going. You want to say, wait. Ever do that? So I always learn, if you ask somebody how you're doing, make sure you take the time to what? I think it's always better to say, fill me in, instead of how are you doing. You really want to know how I'm doing? It's going to take about half an hour. Fill me in. And finally, truth, something we acquire dislike. There's no greater way, which just is a turn on or turn off when it comes to what? Religion. It's something that we either adore or something that we can't stand. If you don't believe me, take a look at the empty pews. Some people don't like religion. I don't like to hear the truth. So St. Paul goes to Areopagus. in Athens. Now, Athens is sort of the wisdom center of the old world. Today, I'd compare it to Boston. Well, what's in Boston? Well, there's MIT, there's Boston University, there's Boston College, and is Harvard in Boston? Is that right? It's sort of like the educational wisdom hub of America, sort of like the ancient Athens. And so Paul goes there, and he preaches a message, a simple message of Jesus Christ who died, who rose, who will come again. And then this is how the crowd reacted. Please read it with me. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, "We want to hear you again on this subject." A few of them became followers of Paul and believed. You see, truth is something we either acquire, we have a taste for, or something we despise. And so when Paul gave this message of Jesus Christ, who lived, who died, and rose, some people sneered. "Where's the white jacket for you, Paul? I never heard of anything." Do you know what I mean when I say the resurrection of the dead? That when Jesus comes back, what's going to happen to our bodies? They're going to what? Be resurrected. And Jesus was resurrected. His body came back to life. Some people sneered at him. Other people said, "I need more time with this. I'm not sure about this." But yet again, some people simply what? Believed. That's the nature of truth. It's something we acquired. It's like me and onions. Or you in certain types of food. Or us in certain areas of our life. When it comes to faith, it's something that we acquire by the Holy Spirit or something we just don't care much for. And so the past couple weeks, we've been reading and hearing about John 6. And John chapter 6 is about food. It's sort of like a food channel. Jesus sort of has a food channel chapter. And in John chapter 6, we hear that Jesus feeds the what? 5,000. Well, that's okay. People are hungry. There was 2 fish and how many loaves? 5. And Jesus fed the masses. We could get that. That's very kind of Jesus. There's 12 baskets left over. We understand that. That makes sense to us. But then we hear this in John chapter 6. Jesus claims to be the what? I'm not sure. What do you mean, Jesus, you're the bread of life? You're a person. Then even more troubling to some, Jesus claims that whoever eats of this bread of life will what? I'm not so sure about that now. That sounds a little odd to me. I can understand you feeding the masses, Jesus. Okay, you say the bread of life, but now you say if I believe in that, that I'll live forever? You see, truth is something acquired from by the Holy Spirit or something that we struggle with. But Jesus makes some more unique claims that only he has made in the history of mankind. He says this in John chapter 6, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. If anyone who eats of this bread, he will live forever." What a unique claim. For some people, that's really hard. I'm not sure I understand that. And Jesus says this, "This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Jesus says, "I've come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me." This is now deep spiritual realities that Jesus is sharing. "I am the bread that came down from heaven. I'm here to do my Father's will. And there's something very unique about me. I've come to do what my Father sent me." Jesus goes on, he says this, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes will have life, eternal life." And Jesus says, "No one can come unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I'll raise them up on the last day." Truth is acquired. And that, friends in Christ, is a very difficult thing to hear, that Jesus just doesn't give out bread, but Jesus says, "I myself am the bread of life." Jesus says, "Whoever eats of me will live forever." And some people struggle with that. And there's 2 ways we react to that. One way, it's truth to us, it nourishes us, that Jesus died and rose for me, and he forgives me, and he's there with me and for me for all things, and he nourishes my life. And the other way is sort of like, oh well, no big deal. That sort of bores me. That's sort of odd. Who can say that? That's the nature of truth. It enlivens us or it turns us off. Is it base of our being, or is there something else that we're bored about? That's how people around Jesus reacted. Jesus has acquired truth. One will either love him or what? You know, I don't love onions, I despise them. No, I don't hate them, I ignore them. You see, some people, by the power of the Holy Spirit, will take in those words that Jesus is the bread of life and be nourished, and some people say, so-so. See, nobody can be neutral about Jesus. If a person is neutral about Jesus, they despise him. You can't be neutral about Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Can you read the verse with me there? He who is not with me is against me. Can't be neutral about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life, the rock, the gate. He is the bread of life. He's the water. Water from heaven. Can't be neutral about him. It's truth itself. You see, truth is often despised. In Jesus' day, people said, aren't you Mary and Joseph's son, Jesus? Aren't you the carpenter? I watched you growing up. I know who you are. I know what your parents are. I know what type of woodworking you do. And now you're claiming to be the bread of life that came from heaven? What is wrong with you? Even in Jesus' day, people didn't buy into what he said. I know who you are, Jesus. Stop with this bread of life stuff from heaven. And a number of people left. And even today, people scoff at the truth. I don't want to hear that Jesus is a bread of life who came down from heaven. Jesus is love. Jesus is tolerance. Go do whatever you want to do. Go do what makes you happy. Jesus is a good teacher. He's my homie. He's my BFF. Do you know what BFF means? He's my best friend forever. I don't care about Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus is sort of a good guy. He likes whatever we do. Truth is despised then, just like truth is despised now, but Jesus is the bread of life who came down from heaven, who gives eternal life to whoever believes. He is the bread of life that nourishes our faith and soul into life everlasting. He is the bread of life that fills our heart in every need of our life. Now, Martin Luther notes those who can't acquire Jesus as a bread of heaven. They seek their own truth. Luther says this, if all these smart alecks on earth were to pool their wits, they could not devise a ladder on which to ascend to heaven. Because good works and our own thoughts about Jesus don't save us. Only Jesus, who is the what? The bread of life, saves you and I. Notice I flip back to that. Let me flip forward. So what does that mean for us? What about you? Is Jesus just another good person, or is he the bread of life from heaven? I'm not asking you to decide. I'm simply proclaiming what the Holy Spirit's leading you to believe. Is Jesus the bread of life who comes and nourishes your heart and soul and blesses you and fills your life with his peace? Let me approach it like this. What's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church? Don't answer. What's the best thing about our church? Is it our sanctuary? We did it a couple years ago. Is it our staff? You know, I'll tell you the best thing I like about St. John Lutheran Church. I like our staff. I like our pastors, teachers. I like our DC. That's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church. Oh, no, the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church are the programs. I like cross-training. I like our Bible studies. I like our school. That's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church. Oh, no, the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is we've been here for, what, 171 years? That's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church. We've been at this corner for a very long time, and we're here in the community knows it. That's what I like best about St. John Lutheran Church. Oh, no, what I like best about St. John Lutheran Church is the people and the families and the generations who keep on coming. That's what I like best. If anyone thinks that way, then I'm simply asking you to look at Jesus. What's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is who? He was the bread of life. The best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is that from this pulpit, you will hear that Jesus is the bread of life who came down from heaven, and he gives eternal life. The best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is we will have, and we always are, proclaiming Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and his word. Best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is that you get to partake communion, his body and blood, the bread of life for you. Best thing about St. John Lutheran Church is that we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church. It has been, is, and will be. And that brings us eternal life and truly fulfills us. With all love to everybody, if somebody thinks that something else besides Jesus is the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church, then you need to eat the bread that he gives. You need to eat of him and receive him. He's the best thing about St. John Lutheran Church. He brings eternal life. He unites us. He brings us together. What a blessing that is. Sort of unique that Jesus said this about himself. When he's lifted up in death, can you read the verse with me? He will draw all men to himself. When I'm lifted up, all men will see me. All will know that I have died for the sins of the world. I am the bread of life who came down from heaven. And friends in Christ, whether you like onions or foods you'd like or dislike, may by the power of the Holy Spirit, we always love the bread of heaven, Jesus. His bread, his nourishment for us. So how about this for a closing thought? Can you read it with me? beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of man. Truly I love thee. Truly I'd serve thee. Light of my soul, my joy, my crown. And all God's people say, Amen.